Thank you so much to the band and to the songsters and to the training band for your messages and your offerings here this morning. So why do we need church? What is it all about? I was thinking first of all about the fact that as human beings, first of all, leaving aside the spiritual side for the moment, we like to belong. We like to belong to something, don't we? It's a basic human need. It's why people join clubs, sports teams, choirs. If I was to ask you why you were here, I would probably get a slightly skewed response. I used to do market research over many years, actually, mostly customer satisfaction research. And companies love to ask for feedback, don't they? They love to ask you how you felt about the meal, the experience, the holiday, the hotel, whatever it might be. Leave us something on TripAdvisor. And there's always this concern, isn't there, that it could be biased because of the type of person that responds to them. And if I asked you why you needed church or why there should be a church, I'd have a biased response. If I asked the population out there why there should be a church, I'd get some very different answers, I'm sure. But there are Christians, and I must confess, I don't quite understand, but some Christians will say, I don't need to go to church. I can be a Christian without going to church. I'm not here to judge. Maybe they can. But I would say they're losing out on an awful lot by not going to a church. As I said, there's this basic need for belonging. Over the summer, I've been fortunate to attend a couple of the Ashes cricket matches. Now, I know that's probably going to turn at least half of the congregation off. But it wasn't to talk about the cricket. It was more to say, there was a real sense of joint enmity towards the Australians for a start, you know, which brought people together in singing their songs and chanting their chants, in dressing up in weird and wonderful outfits. But there was this sense of all being there with a common purpose, to hate the Australians and to win the match. And you could feel it. You could feel that common purpose. And as we tried to illustrate, not very well with the jigsaw, if we don't have a common purpose, then something is lost. Or if we don't understand why people have a different way of looking at things, we lose something. But when we gather together on a Sunday, we all come from different places. We're all at different points in our lives. We've all got different things on our hearts and minds, and some of us will come here on a Sunday and we'll be at the very mountaintop of our experience and everything will be going swimmingly, and thank you God you are doing so many wonderful things in my life right at the moment. And there'll be some people who are coming here who are thinking, Lord, I don't have the answers. I've got so many things laid on my heart and I'm really struggling with my faith at the moment. And that's why we come together. Because the people who are on that mountaintop experience, I had it described to me as it's almost like it's a bowl of water. There are people who are overflowing and there are people who are only half full. And if the people who are overflowing come willing to share and to give and to help those who are struggling, and if the people who are struggling come willing to say, I need some help here, I need your prayers, I need your support, then it balances out, doesn't it? And that's how church should be. Because those people who are struggling today might be the mountaintop people tomorrow. And vice versa. We have a responsibility, don't we, to build one another up, to encourage one another. But also we have a responsibility when things are not going great to share openly because there are people who want to help and support. But of course, that could relate to any community, couldn't it? I dare say the people who are listening to this on the internet, they're perhaps unable to get to a service because of health concerns, or because of distance, or because of logistics. But they want to join in this community. They want to feel the community of believers that we have in corporate worship. So I think one of the reasons we need church is because we're human. It's a human need to want to belong somewhere. But of course, this isn't just a club. This is not just somewhere we come to socialise or to build one another up. It's not just a support group. God wants to meet with us here. Yes, he can meet with us when we pray on our own, but he wants to meet with us as his people, as his church. We sung in the very first song, "Thou deignest to have dwelling here where thy people are." He wants to be here. And the wonderful thing about meeting together is that we can come with present concerns, but God doesn't just deal with our present. Because he's eternal, because he's not confined by time, he can deal with what's happened in the past and what we're fearful about in the future. Eternal Father. Sometimes we're saddled, aren't we, with past hurts or disappointments or guilt or just burdens. He can deal with those. Wonderful healer. It's not just talking about physical healing. It's talking about all sorts of healing that we all need from time to time. Wonderful healer, touch me again. Deal with the stuff that I'm carrying around that I don't need and that's preventing me from being what you want me to be. So God wants to meet with us, but he also wants us to be his people here on earth. His witnesses. And we read a bit in Corinthians there about the spiritual gifts that he gives to us to use in his service. And we have a responsibility not just to find out what those gifts are, but to use them. And everybody here has a spiritual gift. You cannot sit there and say, "Oh, no, not me." No. Yes, you do. And there are many, many spiritual gifts. Playing a euphonium is not a spiritual gift. So don't worry if you can't do it. So I can say that because there's nobody behind me playing a euphonium. That's okay. Spiritual gifts, administration, caring, hospitality, prophecy, preaching, teaching. There are so many of them. And everybody here has at least one of those gifts. And we have a responsibility to use them to build one another up. And the important message from that is that you could be someone else's answer to prayer. And I know from experience that some of you have been an answer to my prayer. So don't ever think that you don't have something to contribute, because you have and you do. But you have to make sure you use those gifts and bring them to the Lord every day, because you will be used by him, perhaps in ways you have no idea about, but you will be used, I'm absolutely certain. I read the passage from Corinthians and I went on into chapter 13 because I think that break at the end of chapter 12 is a bit of an arbitrary one. They are supposed to be read together, and we often start chapter 13 and forget the bit that goes before. But the point is that the chapter 13 puts chapter 12 into context. He gives us those gifts to use in love. There's no point in having them if we're not using them in love, because love binds it all together. And we love because he first loved us. We wouldn't be here if we had not accepted his salvation and his forgiveness. I do believe that a strong church community is better equipped to to reach out there if we have people who are supporting one another in here. If we're helping one another, then we will attract people to Christ. We know, don't we, that where people see a divided community, and I'm not going to highlight any particular one at the moment, but you know what I'm talking about, where people see divisions, they want to walk away. They don't want to be part of that. They want to be part of a church that is together and of one purpose and of one mind. And of course, we are his people on earth. We are how God works on earth, not just in the church, but out there as well.